Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Craftsman days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
We just had 13 full minutes of a podcast before we even started recording.
It's called This Shit is Fucked with Daisy and Ellen.
Yeah. Honestly, in the middle of it, I was like, this should be our new podcast.
We would get so many letters.
Please. Jesus Christ.
You would get Dear Daisy letters and they would just say, shut up.
Yeah. They'd be like, how dare you? You
queer bitch.
Idiot.
That's what it would
moron.
Say.
Moron.
These are two stupid idiots.
I mean, that's the truth no matter what, but. I heard that I have a new title. I'm really excited about it.
What is it?
Cocaine expert Daisy Egan.
Yes!
I'm so thrilled. The whole pod squad texted me last night.
And welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Bonk, 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 bonk.
I love that bonk.
Bonk. And then there's a little drum.
I picked this, the theme music, and it's my proudest moment.
I think we picked it together. We had a bunch of options, Daisy.
Ellen,
we had like a big text message.
Ellen,
yes, Daisy.
I said, I like this one. And that's the one we went with. And so I picked it.
You're right.
Thank you.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, everyone. The podcast where Daisy is always right. And I am here. And my name is Ellen. And Daisy has a new title. I am no longer referring to her as Tony Award winning Daisy Egan. Mm-hmm. She is now cocaine expert Daisy Egan.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that title?
You know, I'll buy it. I am like the Chong of cocaine. I'm really not.
Every time I say something that sounds kind of stonery or I did something stonery, my brothers call me Cheech. They're like, okay, Cheech. I'm like the stoner of my family. Although, you know, I got my mom to love edibles.
Really?
Yeah. When she was like in her bereavement, heavy, heavy bereavement, I told her they were CBD, but really they were THC.
Nice.
And we had so many giggles. It was like the first time she laughed and it was great.
I would rather pull my toenails off with a rusty pliers than do drugs with my father.
Now, I know I'm taking a left turn with this. Has anyone ever told you you have a flair for the dramatic?
No.
I didn't think so. I didn't think that.
What are that's you just, even saying?
That's what people are saying
in the
chat. How are you, Daisy?
I'm so good, Ellen. How are you?
I'm good. Rabia and I had our live show in Nashville last night. I do have two other podcasts just like you. You're the only person that I can't flex how busy I am because I have three podcasts because you also have three podcasts. So yeah. It like doesn't work on you.
Doesn't. I'm like, oh, yeah, say more.
Although I can flex being a single mom. I feel like that's my flex.
Yeah, you can. But also, to be fair, your podcasts take more time to do. And then I remembered that I have to write 5,500 words a week. I don't know what's wrong with me.
This is my least stressful podcast. I say that to everyone.
Yeah, same.
It goes Rabia and Ellen, ITN.
Oh, this isn't, no, Dear Daisy's my least stressful.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That's not even a podcast. That's you literally getting on a microphone and talking.
That's literally the definition of a podcast.
Right, but you have no prep.
Correct.
Well, Joey and I do something on our Patreon called Swamp Talk, and it's just a talk show.
That's nice.
We don't know what we're going to say or talk about. We call it an easy lift.
I might add something like that for GBC where I read like, I wanted to do that back in the old days for my other Patreon for They Who Shall Not Be Named. And I wanted to do like a where I read paranormal, like sort of what you guys do for About Damn Crime, but it would just be me reading like paranormal news, mm-hmm. like the latest paranormal stuff and just sort of riffing on it. Might do that. That sounds like fun.
Yeah, this is going to be an extra long episode because this episode is already long. And yes, we call Swamp Talk Trauma Dump Boohoo Cry Hour because we just end up crying. Like we're two comedians with a podcast about comedy and literally every month we just cry. And it's the dumbest thing ever. And I can never listen back. I've never listened back to a Swamp Talk.
No. Mm-mm. Wow. Who does the editing?
Jeff.
Okay.
I don't have to. I can't listen back to it. I have a question. So on About Damn Crime, we had a big pushback on something because About Damn Crime, we cover headlines.
Yeah. Like
we talk about headlines and, you know, sometimes we'll go back and forth. And I was talking about the Piers Morgan, Kevin Spacey interview. Yeah. I was just talking about the interview and the amount of people that came for my fucking head mm-hmm. and told me I didn't research the case. Mm-hmm. I didn't research the allegations. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, you're right.
Correct.
I didn't. I did what the thing was. And that was, it was his first public appearance in 7 years. He sat down with Piers Morgan for 90 minutes. I have not been ripped to shreds like that since our Scott Peterson episode. It was literally when I had COVID. I was like, I'm turning off all social media.
Listen, I got called racist for saying that Robert E. Lee was white. So people are going to be mad.
They're going to be mad no matter what.
It doesn't matter. You could be like, the sky's blue, and people would be like, how dare you? I hate blue things! Blue lives matter!
Yeah! Why is your rainbow rainbow and not shades of blue?
Ah! All right. Enough dicking around. Let's get to the real important stuff.
Yeah, get your dicks out of your mouth. We're on season 2. It is the weddings. Or if you have a dick in your mouth, keep it there.
Keep
I don't know.
There.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. What do you think I am? What am I, the FBI?
What am I, your mother?
What am I going to do? What am I going to tell your mother? What am I going to do? Text your group chat?
What am I, the police?
No.
You want a dick in your mouth? Put a dick in your mouth.
Put a dick in your mouth, even if it's not
care.
Pride.
No.
All right,
you
whatever.
Could put a dick in your mouth every day of the year.
We're on the weddings, y'all. We are, season 2 is coming to a rapid close. Season 2, episode 10, just titled The Weddings.
Now is the time to decide if love is blind.
My vision for marriage is two people that come together and decide that we're going to spend our life together and we're going to be together no matter what, through thick and thin, good times and bad. And so it's a very serious, real lifelong commitment.
We left off with Nick and Danielle, and Nick looks like, you remember that scene in Airplane?
Uh-huh, yes.
Where it's just like a faucet coming out. He is wiping his sweat. There's no hope. There's no hope for wiping this sweat off.
No.
Don't wipe it. You're making it worse. It is comical. It's like, what's that show, Laugh-In? The pratfall of sweating. How much this man is sweating.
Yeah, it's like he got slimed.
Yeah.
But it was with sweat. So we cut back to the big dramatic pause before he answers the question. And I wrote, of course he says no. Wait.
Oops.
He said yes. And I was actually shocked.
He says there's no doubt that she is the one he is supposed to spend the rest of his life with. My guy, your sweat glands are betraying you.
Yeah.
Your sweat glands are telling a totally different story.
Not only is his sweat glands telling a whole different story, but his whole face is. He looks like there is a gun pointed at his head right out of frame.
I am surprised and quite proud of Danielle that she didn't overanalyze his sweating and start a fight in the middle of the wedding vows and be like, well, why are you sweating
why
so
are you
much?
Sweating, then?
Are you nervous?
Are you,
is it because I'm horrible
sweating?
And I'm ugly?
Because I'm fat and horrible?
Yeah, and you hate me? This man is sweating through his pants.
They're going down the aisle and it looks like he's pissed his pants. He's like holding his jacket over the wet spot. It looks like he literally pissed his pants.
This is not comedy.
No.
This is not hyperbole.
No.
He looks like he peed his pants. So they're walking down the aisle. Was Nick's family there?
Yeah, we saw his mom. She looked about as thrilled as he did while he was saying yes. Like, she's just a statue. No fucking response at all. Mama, what's her face? The other one is just weeping Wendy.
Yeah.
My girl.
Weeping Wendy.
So they walk away and he says, how do you feel? And she says, so good. And Daisy, I think that is the first time that she has said anything positive about her life.
Oh my God.
Or her experiences.
You're right. I feel like that experience was okay, except for the sweating. But like, it just made me think, like, what is going to happen in the future? Like, are you going to love me for the rest of your life? Because you were sweating a lot. And also, I hate myself.
The thing that it made me think about is that the acceptance is what made her say, so good. She's finally accepted. He said, I do. It's locked. It's loaded. The government is involved.
Yeah.
But self worth and inner peace is an inside fucking job, Danielle. Your romantic partners are there to enhance it, give you a couple of orgasms maybe on your birthday and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. She's fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah. She's all better now. There's no more anxiety, no more terror, no more insecurities. She's fixed. She's fixed by this wedding.
That's what I say every time after I go to therapy.
You did
it. We did it. Nick talks to the camera and he says, I'm very happy.
Yeah.
I am very excited. I am happy and excited.
I love Danielle.
His face can only be described as my face when I watch a horror movie. He is terrified. He goes, I wasn't 100% sure because she wasn't sure. And now we're married. And that's great because that is forever. And marriage
that is forever.
And we are married. And it is good and it's great. Then they're sitting by themselves with some champagne.
Yeah, they did not go immediately indoors into air conditioning, which really should have been where they went.
Even if they were like, you're going to go sit on that bench, he was like, I need a dryer. I need something.
Yeah, he clearly dried himself off for a minute, but they are fully walking around and sitting in 110 degree weather.
Then they say,
cheers.
To us.
For the rest of our lives.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't realize it for the rest of our lives. I should have thought this through a little more.
Do you know that saying, there's truth in every jest?
Sure.
Maybe not the thing to say now, because I get it. Like, your face is saying it. Your face is telling us all we need to know. We're good. Yeah, this is forever. It's forever.
Did we just do this?
His face is telling two separate stories. They just acted out Sense and Sensibility, and on the inside, he's, I don't know, what's the scary thing? Titus Andronicus.
Does he not know her yet? Like, that's not the thing to say ever, but especially to her.
Baffles me. Maybe it's the heat.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Now we can go on to Deep D and Shake.
In confessional, Deep D tells us she wanted to find her soulmate. Are you vomiting? Oh, the soulmate. I was like, oh, hold on. She's got to sneeze. Oh, no, she's vomiting.
We can go.
No. Ellen.
I'm okay. No, I'm a professional.
She wanted to find her soulmate.
Right.
Her soulmate.
They still haven't fucked, right?
No.
Are we sure they haven't fucked?
I mean, no, we're not sure, but it doesn't seem like it.
Okay.
We get subjected to her overflowing acceptance of his fucking proposal, and then the only time he ever wanted to be anywhere near her, which was in the Tunnel of Love. And then in confessional, he looks way too fucking relaxed. He says the morning has been surreal from getting whisked away in a Suburban. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up.
Piece of trash.
Shut the fuck up.
Who fucking cares? I got picked up in a Suburban. You didn't pay for... You're on a show, a TV show, you fucking tool.
Do you know who drives Suburbans? Moms.
Moms.
Mothers.
Soccer moms.
Okay? You're not fancy. Okay?
You're not
fancy. Just in a big car.
You're in a very big car with terrible gas mileage.
Terrible. Ruining the ozone, those Suburbans.
You're being horrible to the environment.
What do you have? What do you have? 10 kids? What do you have? 11 kids? Why do you need such a big car?
Why do you need... Why do you need it? Are you taking a whole soccer team there?
I think Katie and Christy both have Suburbans. It's fine. You have kids.
They're fucking Suburban moms. Come on. He says he's excited. You could have fooled me. His friends show up and ask him
what does he call them, Daisy? They walk in and he goes, it's the squad. Don't call it a squad. Don't call it a squad. There are so many things I learned from my daughter because there's a lot of things you can't do or say. You know, like I can't say good morning or hi, or I can't tag her on social media or breathe.
No, but God, no.
Squad? No. No, you're not a squad. What are you, a soccer team? What are you, a rugby team? You're a squad?
What are you, a cheerleading team? Men's cheerleaders?
No, you're not. Squad! Shut the fuck up.
This man is so full of shit, he squishes when he walks. His friends are like, where's your head at? And once a fucking again, he's like, I don't want to fuck Deep Dee. His friends are basically like, you're no prize yourself, dude. What do you think you're going to look like in 20 years? And they're like, look, there's always going to be somebody hotter. You need to love her for her personality.
Oh, my God.
I know.
And he says, you know, some things you can't be 80% about. You got to be 150%. You know what? You fucking toothpick. I'm not a mathematician. Please just tell me your feelings. I don't need fractions and percentages and numbers and decimal points right now.
This man cannot relay emotion. He can't do it. He's incapable of doing it.
I'm an only child, but today is not just about me. It's about Deep Dee also. They say you have to be selfish and think about yourself. And I think that's true in many scenarios. But I also think, you know, when it comes to marriage, that's the day you stop thinking about just yourself.
How fucking old are you, bro?
What day is only about you past the age of 8?
He says the day you get married, you have to stop thinking about just yourself. Where have you been?
Up his own ass is where he's been. But he does say a connection like theirs comes only once in a lifetime. Does it?
He tells somebody else a connection like this only happens once every 10 years, 20 years. So it's a few times in your lifetime. Deep Dee tells her friend that she's a glass case of emotions, which
that's
I guess...
That's a line from Anchorman.
It is?
Ron, where are you?
I'm in a glass case of emotion!
She tells us the day means the world to her, and she's always wanted to find her person. She tells her friend that there's never going to be the perfect person, and you have to decide what you're going to compromise on.
That's true.
Yes, nothing that she is saying is leading us to believe that she wants to do this.
I always say marriage is finding the person whose bullshit you are willing to put up with.
Yes.
Because it's always going to be something.
It's always going to be some bullshit. So Mama Gayatri shows up. Deep Dee wants to celebrate their unique love story, and she's grateful for her family's support. It's a beautiful fucking wedding. Everybody's wearing traditional wedding attire. She looks like
Can I ask a question?
Disney princess.
She does. I'm sorry. Can we just make it okay to appropriate Indian fashion?
I wish.
I love it. I love the opulence.
Yeah.
I love the traditional headpiece and the bracelets. I love it. I love it. The brighter, the better. Can we make that okay?
We should.
Can everyone just choose one culture? Like, not everyone has to choose Indian, and you get a pass to, like, appropriate this.
Oh, man, that would be hard to pick.
Whenever I see pictures of Rabia, she's always wearing bright colors. Like, I love it. It's like more is more, and I love more is more, you know?
And the food is so goddamn fucking good.
Deep Dee might have, to me, the most beautiful dress in all of the seasons.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. She looks like a princess.
The men are over the top as well.
Mm-hmm. The whole thing is very traditional.
His suit is impeccable. I thought it was beautiful. And I love that the men get to be over the top too.
Her mom puts a bindi on her head and she says, this is the most important thing because it signifies bright days moving forward. And Deep Dee goes, yeah, cute.
He talks to his parents. I want someone to make a track or a loop or maybe a dance mix of all the stupid shit that Shake says, because his parents say he has a difficult decision to make. Yes, thank you. And then he says this.
You know, a wise man said that when you have to make a difficult decision, the important thing is that you make a decision.
I mean, listen, that is one of the most profound things I think I've ever heard.
What wise man? Who said that? Socrates?
A wise man. A wise
Abraham
man.
Lincoln, Mark Twain, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Who said that? Who said that? I want a name. I want a name of the person who said that quote. Just a wise man. It was just a wise guy.
It does actually sound like a Trumpism.
It does, actually.
Yeah, he's so stupid. And this is like when he mansplained decisions to Deep Dee.
Yeah.
Every time he opens his mouth, I'm like, shut the fuck up.
He says, this is on a whole other level. Yeah, babe. We're not going to Chili's and splitting an awesome blossom.
In confessional, Deep Dee says,
I came into this experience wanting to find my person for somebody who loves me for who I am, someone I can spend the rest of my life with. And I've given it my all. I've given it my 110%. I know what I'm going to say today, and Let's see how it goes.
Listen, I may have seen this show before, but that sounds like a person who's about to say no.
Yeah.
She says, I gave it my best shot.
Well, the wedding starts and there's this procession with drummers and clapping. I love tradition. I love anything traditional. I love the tradition of this wedding. They're dancing down the aisle.
Shake comes dancing down the aisle with this whole party. It's
great. It was really beautiful. I meant to look this up and I forgot because I am irresponsible.
Yeah.
The parents of the bride, so Deep Dee's mom was putting sort of a powder on his forehead.
She gave him a bindi.
Yeah, but I wonder what the symbolism is of the mother of the bride doing that to her future son, because Deep Dee's mom and dad were doing that, and then he instructed the dad to go get Deep Dee. I meant to look up the symbolism of that. Just chalk it up to I don't do research.
He tells us that he's always run away from who he is, but now he's embracing it. Whatever.
Jake looks really excited here.
He, I know,
actually, for this moment, this 12-second clip has emotion.
Uh-huh.
He actually looks genuinely excited.
I agree. He sees Deep Dee and he's like, whoa. And he tells us that she looks stunning. He seems very excited. Deep Dee tells him he looks hot. They both think they look amazing, whatever. The officiant chants something in Hindi, and then he gives us the Netflix scripted spiel about you met in the pod and you didn't know each other, and now's the time to decide. And Deep Dee is first.
I hope you know how much you mean to me and the impact that you've made on my life. But no, I cannot marry you. I deserve somebody who knows for sure. So I'm choosing myself and I'm going to say no.
And then she just leaves. She walks back down the aisle. And the first time I watched this, I turned into, I know this is a slur, we've recently learned this, but I turned into a Guido in the Jersey Shore. I was like, fist pumping! I've never fist pumped in my life. I think I did it right. There might be notes. I was like, yeah, 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 cut the mozzarella!
Go get the prosciutto!
You, like, you guys are racist against Italians. But it was like old school Arsenio Hall.
Yeah.
Five people will get that, and most of them are probably in the chat. Well, I was like, dang, dang.
Yeah, Shake's friends look like they all want to yell out, sick burn, bro. And Shake has never been so humiliated in all of his live-long days.
She looks very centered, very focused, very calm. He is gobsmacked. It was like when Trump got elected in 2016.
I don't think he's ever been told no, and is, well, he probably has, and he hasn't listened to it. Whoa! Back at the altar, Shake insists that they're still having a celebration, and he makes the drummer start back up, and he tells everyone, get up, we're gonna celebrate, and then he does the chicken dance.
I have never seen a better impression of Michael Scott
than... Oh my God!
...in this moment. You would think we were on The Office right now. It is so awkward.
He tells everyone that they're going to be partying until tomorrow because he took tomorrow off. He's really trying to play it off that 50 people didn't just watch his fucking fiance dump him at the altar. He's like, she's definitely going to be my friend, dude. I doubt it.
And we're going back and forth from this very tender and sweet moment between Deep Dee and her mom, where her mom is so graceful and supportive. And she's saying, I just want you to be happy. You did good. And then we go back to Shake fucking peacocking.
Oh my God.
You know, thank God I didn't have to say anything. And then Deep Dee and her mom, they're like in these emotions. And then Shake says this.
Thank God I didn't have to say anything. And, you know, and like very transparent, I was the one that was more on the fence. It's like, you know what I mean? It's not a fun thing to talk about right now, but like, if I would have said yes, she would have said yes.
That's why I feel amazing. We avoided all of that. I was like, please be the one to reject me. Like, I can handle it. I can take it. You know?
And then he says,
I have reservations at Nobu on Sunday, so.
Oh, fuck you!
Man is gonna be at Nobu with no boo. Who are you gonna Nobu Nobu with, my man? Who are you dropping Nobu money on a Sunday?
You are so fucking transparent and cliched. This guy is such a fucking tool. I've got reservations on Nobu Sunday. Fuck you.
The secondhand embarrassment from him trying to do emotional damage control. He's like, yeah, I mean, if I would have said yes, she would have said yes.
Yeah, no, this is great for her because, like, it would have been really embarrassing for her.
It's less Michael Scott and it's more, oh, fuck. What's Ricky Gervais's character's name?
David.
No.
Paul.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Trevor.
David Brent. Fuck. Yes. Thank you, Liz.
I said David.
You're right. You're right. It's David Brent. Then Mama Deep Deep says,
today, she stood up for herself. And I'm so, so proud of her. She's not a girl who asks for a lot. She is a person who cares for every single person, no matter what. And I think she deserves that connection and full commitment and a lot more from him. So there's nothing more to say. That's my daughter.
Ugh, I want her to be my mom.
Oh my God, she is so precious. And then Deep Deep right after that says,
I don't think he realizes what he just lost. And a little time from now, he's gonna look back and realize that he lost the best thing of his life. And when that day comes, I'll be long gone.
I wrote, yes, girl, yell it from the rooftops.
And all the women in the land stood up and clapped.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be a top 10 most badass moment in all of reality TV, right?
It's really fucking good.
I hope this show made dating very problematic for Shake.
Apparently on Instagram, he calls himself the puppy doc. And you know, he's like, that's just to get chicks. What an idiot.
And I'm blues and controlled.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Now it's Natalie and Shane's big day.
Oh boy. Strap down your titties.
Strap it on. Natalie is nervous and stressed. She tells us last night they got into a really big fight and he said some really hurtful things. What a fucking surprise.
This is the most emotional I've ever seen her.
Oh,
she's hyperventilating.
She can't speak. She asked him last night, I guess, if he'd had too much to drink and he did not want to hear it. And I realized that this must have come right after the bachelor party where he couldn't hit his little ball with his little wooden stick and he was very, very upset about it.
Yeah, he was very mad about it. I didn't do a good job, so I had to
embarrass myself.
Yeah, and I got mad and sad.
I embarrassed myself with one of my friends and then I was mad and sad.
Yeah, and then I had tequila.
Yeah, and then I went home and I took it out on my fiance.
Yeah, because it made me big feelings.
Oh, so big feelings.
Natalie cannot, she can barely speak. She says she still loves him. He's still her best friend. She needs better friends. Listen, don't marry a man who gets so mad about baseball that he fucking screams at you.
Shane's gonna one-up us all, and he's gonna show up on his wedding day in capri pants.
Capri camo pants.
Capri camo sweatpants.
Capri camo cargo sweatpants.
Oh, my stars.
With a drawstring on the calves.
The producers want to talk about the fight and he's like, I don't want to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it, bro.
People say mean stuff when they're mad.
Listen, everybody says things when they're mad, okay?
It doesn't count when you're mad and you're
doesn't
mad at
count.
Baseball.
I could say anything. Doesn't count.
Here's the thing. No, you can't.
No.
You can't do that. Grown-ups can't do that. Have you ever done any research into the limbic system?
Uh-huh.
Right? That's the part of your brain that triggers emotional responses, right? It's the limbic.
Oh, fuck.
Am I right?
I thought it was the lizard brain.
It's the thing that makes you defensive, right? When you feel the presence of danger, when you feel a
threat. Yeah, like and you get cortisol or
dopamine. It affects your like emotional responses and your decisions. And then that leads to like verbal fucking tirades, putting the focus away from where it should be.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that women don't do this. We're talking about Shane right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pump testosterone in there
and
the
tequila.
Lizard fucking brain. And then you say things that you don't mean, but it's out there. I vacillate between, like, I don't give a shit when people say things to me, like, if I don't care about them. But if I do care about you, words hurt me more than anything. And they will ring in my head till the end of fucking time.
Sure.
Do you know that Jewish parable about the little boy with the feather? Have I told that story?
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's a parable in any religion. I just learned it when I used to teach Hebrew school.
What?
I taught Hebrew school. I taught Hebrew school because my Ima's daughter was a Hebrew school teacher, and I was like her assistant. So I would teach in Hebrew school. I taught in Orthodox Hebrew school.
Oh my God, Ellen.
Anyway, it's the parable where the little boy gets in trouble and the rabbi is like, or the priest or the whatever, the minister goes and says, okay, for your penance, you have to go and put a feather on everyone's doorstep in the village. And he's like, that's all great. That's great. And he comes back and he's like, Rabbi, I finished. And then he goes, great. Now you have to go get those feathers. And he was like, Rabbi, I can't do that. I can't go get the feathers. People have picked them up. They've blown away. An animal flew away with it. And he's like, see, this is like your words when you put them out there. You can't take words back.
Yeah, I just saw a thing on Instagram with a kindergarten teacher or something doing that, but with toothpaste. She was like, once it's out of the tube, it won't go back in.
Exactly, Kaylee. It's the broken vase. Mean words. And this comes from someone who was severely verbally abused as a child. So I guess we're having therapy hour, but it never leaves you.
No.
It's not fixable.
It doesn't.
Don't say the mean words.
Don't
think it doesn't mean anything. Uh-uh. Don't say the mean words.
Don't. I still, snot-nosed little brat just rattles around and that's the best of it.
Who called you that?
My dad.
He did?
A lot.
That's mean.
Yeah.
I don't think you're a snot. I mean, sometimes you do have snots in your nose, but that's sure. human nature.
Sometimes I have snots in my nose. Sometimes I'm a little bratty.
Yeah.
Shane's friends are checking in with him. Natalie's getting her makeup on. She does not look happy.
She looks sad.
Depressed. She looks depressed. Yeah.
She doesn't look worried. She looks defeated.
Yeah.
She looks exhausted.
Shane's friends are asking him why he's nervous. And he's basically like, she had her bachelorette party, doesn't mention his party, and came home and they had a little argument. Of course. His friends are like, what do you mean, of course? And also, like, I don't think it was a little argument. Your fiance can't fucking talk. But he's like, well, you know, she finds something wrong about me almost every time.
We then go back to those dangerous banter moments that mm-hmm. we talked about mid-season when bantering and kidding and just kittens are a little biting because mm-hmm. Natalie has definitely done that. You piece of shit. Put your shirt back on. You're not pretty. You're ugly. All those moments where he was reaching for compliments and reassurance and then she made fun of him. Mm-hmm. We see a whole montage of that. He had had it. And I have said from the beginning, he looks like a little wounded boy.
Yeah.
This man needs words of affirmation. He needs assurance. He needs compliments.
Mm-hmm.
They are just not suited for each
other. No, they absolutely
And I'm not defending his mean words. You still, that doesn't give you the right to make mean words. But I understand getting to the end of your rope of constantly being, you know, shut down. They just don't know how to love each other correctly.
No. And he tells his friends that basically what he said was like, well, if you think all these things about me, why would you want to marry me? I don't think we should get married now. In the ladies' quarters, Natalie says that his confidence is what drew her to him. I mean, it's not confident.
It was in the pods, though. He was like, hey, you know, he was like,
that's true.
Johnny Bravo.
Yeah.
He was a different representation of himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wasn't his needy self, except for that one like gaslighting thing with the name thing.
Oof.
He seemed like just a bro.
That's true. Natalie's parents show up. Her dad tells her everything's going to work out. He says,
you look fabulous.
You look good, Dad.
Everything's gonna work out. I know it for a fact. You know what I was gonna say?
What?
Of all the things I've done in my life, being your dad, my greatest achievement yet. Really, you really make me happy, babe. All of this.
You remember, Ellen, when your dad said that to you?
No.
That was so sweet.
No, my dad told me that he brought me into this world and he could take me out.
That's pretty much the same thing.
He also said, whenever you are proud of yourself, just remember you're nothing special.
No, that's basically.
Is that the same?
That's the same.
Yeah, it's the way you say it. Because if you go up at the end, it's nice. Like a British person.
Yeah, that's nice.
Where is that guy?
So Nan is like, meh, I've done better. I'm just kidding. She tells her to follow her heart. In confessional, she tells us that if they hadn't made the connection they'd made in the pod, she does not think they could have survived that argument. And her love forces her to not walk away. And I just want to do a quick PSA, if I might, right here.
Yeah.
And just tell people that love sometimes is not enough. And if somebody's insulting you, verbally abusing you, or physically abusing you, just because you love them does not mean you have to stay. Love should not force you to do anything. Thank you.
Except anal.
Well, I mean, that, come on. That goes
without
saying.
Well, if you love
saying.
Someone, you'll do anal. It's, yes. It's like the Bible said.
Yes. It's part of the
love
vows.
Love thy partner, open thy butthole.
Yeah.
I didn't write it.
I didn't either. Who knows who wrote
Corinthians
that
Corinthians did. Shane is twitching all over the place.
Oh, boy.
We got to talk. He's biting his nails.
Uh-huh.
He's pacing.
Uh-huh.
He's acting on drugs. If someone were to say you have a scene and you need to act like you were on drugs.
Yeah. Uppers.
You are a cocaine expert.
Yeah.
So you have raw stuff that you can draw from.
Yeah.
I don't.
Right.
This is how I would act. I'd be like, I'm on drugs. You know, like that.
So what was this? Something's getting in your eye. Oh, yeah.
And they'd be like, whoop, she's on some drugs.
Well, you have to, but you do have to differentiate. You have to be like, do you mean uppers or downers? So the next time you're at an audition and they're like, act like you're on drugs, just say uppers or downers.
Thank you, Daisy.
You're welcome.
My acting coach.
Netflix makes everything look tense. Everybody looks very nervous. My captions tell me that Shane grunts. Mama Nan and Shane's mom, Linda, share a very, very worried look.
Mama Nan looks like she knows what happened the night before. Or do you just think that's Mama Nan's face?
I mean, little column A, little column B.
She looks a little mad. She doesn't look worried. She doesn't look happy. I mean, everyone's a little worried. This is a worrisome scenario.
Yeah.
She looks like angry. To me, we don't see this on camera. To me, it looks like Natalie told her what happened the night before.
Yeah. I would imagine she probably did. And Mama Linda looks like she's attending her son's execution.
It's true. Did he get the prime rib? That's what he said he wanted for his final meal.
Did he get the Salisbury steak? Shane did not get to wear his cape, and his pants are way too short. They might as well be capri pants. His whole suit's too short. He's like, he's like an ogre.
The jaw movements, his eyes are spaced out.
He's like,
his pupils.
I'm getting married.
He's like Tom Hanks in Castaway.
Oh,
like,
Wilson! I love that movie. Wilson!
Natalie walks down the aisle and she has a voiceover and she says,
this is the biggest decision of my life. Before this experiment, I always led with my head and I always ignored my heart. I know in my heart that I love Shane so much and I want to work it out, but I'm scared.
I don't think she means scared of emotion. I think she means scared of Shane.
Yeah.
I think.
I wouldn't put it past her. Neither of them look thrilled to see each other. They're both kind of like, ugh. They're barely looking at each other through the whole opening spiel.
Totally not looking at each other. And I don't know if he didn't sleep last night or it's the cocaine, but he is just all over the place.
Yeah.
He is making me more uncomfortable than the first time that I watched it.
Oh, God, yeah. It's bad. He says, I just want you to know I love you. And he is looking anywhere but at her eyes. And then he finally says, I do, fully looking down at the floor.
Yeah.
Then he's like 1,000 times over. Her face is unreadable, just stone. And then Natalie says,
I'm so glad that we shared this journey together. I think we've grown a lot as two people who have fallen in love. I know I've grown a lot because of you, but I don't. I'm so sorry. I still love you and you're still my best friend. Like, we have really big issues to sort through.
I know.
Yay, Natalie.
But Shane does something that Shake didn't, and he runs after her.
Yeah.
He says, I respect what you said, and I respect that you're upset. And she says she's not closing the door.
Yeah, she's like, I still want to work it out. He needs time to think about it. And then this part was really confusing, and I had to watch it a couple times to try to understand what had happened. He says, I'm sorry I said what I said, but it was truly how I felt. And she says, so you hated me and I was the worst thing for you? And he goes, So we're really doing this now. Dude, you brought it up, first of all, okay? And very understandably, she's like, I don't know what you mean. I don't know what you meant.
Okay, I am going to be our dear friend Barry in the chat and put on my therapist hat.
Uh-huh.
With the umbrella of the fact that these two people might think they love each other, they are not meant for each other.
Right.
They are very toxic in their own ways. We're all toxic in our own ways,
sure.
Right? I think one of two things. I think number one, he doesn't remember what he said, possibly. But I also think that he can't differentiate the idea from the words. I think he meant to say, you put me down a lot. You hurt my feelings a lot.
Yeah.
I need more love and affection. I need compliments.
Yeah.
I need those things. And it came out, I hate you. You're the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
He does not have the mental capacity to realize that the essence of what he was saying is legitimate because it was his feelings. But the actual context of what he said is hurtful words.
Absolutely. And again, I don't think it excuses him, but I do think he reached a breaking point. I think she probably said something insulting and he'd heard it too many times. And he has said to her too many times, I need compliments. You're too mean to me. And in that moment, after he didn't hit the baseball and he was drunk, he said the very wrong thing.
So I think that a smarter man might have been able to construct a better thought about how, hey, here's how you're not meeting my needs.
Sure.
And it came out, I don't like you right now, you know, and it came out in an unforgivable way.
Yeah. He was either cocaine addled or he's trying to gaslight her because he completely changes tack at this point. And he's like,
I apologize 100 times over. I'm the one who has to live with it.
My whole thing is like, well, then why did you say it was how you felt? Like, if you're saying sorry for it, like, don't bring it back up.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say, I'm sorry. And also, it was 100% how I felt in that moment. Like, you brought it up. Don't bring it back up in this moment. This is not the right moment. And either be sorry or don't. But then this whole, like, I've apologized 1,000 times. I keep fucking apologizing. He's making himself the victim that she has to then take care of his fucking feelings.
Anne makes a really good point in the chat. She says, I don't think that Natalie or Deep D have much experience with relationships. And I think that's true. It's like, that's what a little kid does. When a boy's like, I think you're pretty, a girl's like, well, I think you're gross and stupid.
Yeah.
There are very few grown-ups on this show.
Very, very few. I think it would be a boring show if they were all grown-ups. Like, if they were all Nick.
Or Sal. Oh my God.
Please.
We would definitely have to choose another show if it was just six couples of Sal fucking playing the ukulele, making our ears bleed and making chimichangas in the corner. Like, no thank you.
He wasn't making chimichangas. He was making Chinese stir fry with salsa music.
What's for dinner? Chimichangas? No, ramen.
In confessional, Natalie tells us that before the fight, she was 100% sure she was going to say yes. And we saw that at the bachelorette party. But saying you hate someone and they're the worst thing that's ever happened to them cannot be unsaid.
Yeah.
So Shane walks away from Natalie saying they don't have to apologize for how they feel. In confessional, he's like,
what do you want to say? I'm hurt, okay? Like, it's all a blur. I don't know. I love her, but I don't think I can come back from that.
And then mirroring Shane, Natalie says very softly and very sweetly, she has the model of a good man in her life, and that was her dad.
Yeah.
Her dad makes her feel safe. Her dad is always been there for her. And Shane makes her feel, these are really important words, scared and on edge.
Yeah, she said that at the altar looking at Shane, she felt on edge and scared. You don't want to feel that way when you look at the person that you love.
Just closing this up, I've said Shane proves this over and over that he's just a hurt little boy who is not therapized.
No.
I don't like him as a man or a partner in this moment.
Yeah.
But I understand where he's at.
Yeah.
He's
me too.
Not at a place to get married.
No.
I don't think he's inherently a bad person. I think he lacks a ton of skills to be a partner, one of them being kissing. I just want to applaud Deep D and Natalie. I mean, for choosing themselves, for embracing their value, no matter how painful or embarrassing that was.
It's hard, man.
I hope every single person listening right now can hold that value for ourselves. It would have really been easy to say yes and then be like, we'll figure it out, like I did.
Yeah, same.
Sometimes it's just easier to say yes and.
I mean, all these people are here already. Natalie says that a weight has been lifted off her shoulders. Yes, that's called 200 pounds of Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
So we're 1 for 3, and we go to Salary's wedding. Sal is nervous and excited. We see the proposal montage and their love story. And then Sal is either journaling or writing a note to Mallory, but Mallory never gets a note, so I think he's really journaling. God bless this man.
Courtney, you listen to I Think Not. That's all. Look at this cowlick. It's really sending me for a loop today. I'm just going to go like that.
Oh, it's like you don't have bangs again.
Thanks for noticing.
Sal says that he loves her and whatever, who cares, but he's not sure he sees it reciprocated from Mallory. And then we get to watch some of that atrocious fucking conversation with Jerry TTTT in Mexico.
We don't see it reciprocated either, Sal. You're not on an island on your own on that one.
That is correct. He tells us he's not happy with the way Mallory's family has handled this whole thing. He says, Mallory knows I love her. Yes, honey, we all know that you love her. You have told her with 75 different ukulele songs every 5 minutes.
I do agree. I think her family was being cunty under the guise of being protective.
Yeah.
I think her family was rude.
Yes, I agree.
So I don't blame him for saying that.
I don't either. And it'll come up later, too. So now Mallory tells us everything's surreal. She's surprised that they're there and everything happened the way it was supposed to. Tiffany shows up, her sister, and she says she didn't really expect her to show up. But of course, her parents and brothers were too busy.
No. She says they couldn't make it.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it is code for fuck no.
Yeah.
We're not coming.
Yeah.
But what's crazy is in the pods, Mallory said she had a big family that she was close with.
Mm-hmm.
Your family don't want to come to your wedding?
They were not having this at all.
Okay. Where's that big close family you told us about?
Mallory is delusional. I think Mallory eats delusion for breakfast. This woman lives in fucking Delulu land. She is delusional. Her friends ask her if she has any fears or worries, and she's like, no, basically. And then her sister is like, you love Sal? And she's like, yeah, I do. I'm very excited. I've been 100% honest about my feelings.
Have you?
I
guess that was, we didn't see that. I guess it was edited.
She says, there's so many qualities that I like love about him, and my feelings are genuine and true. Her sister, Tiffany, is like, can you see a future with him? Really? 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 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? And Mallory's like, yes, I'm sure. Everything is great. We are going to be married. So Sal's sister shows up, Daisy and Victoria. We meet his brother, Bernie, who we hadn't met before. Not his parents. We don't hear anything about his parents at all ever, right?
No. Good or bad.
Yeah.
Maybe they're past.
Maybe they have. Sal is very measured. He's like, he's thinking about the last few weeks and how they've resolved their issues. Nothing was resolved. Literally nothing. And he says he's going to have to wait and see in the moment what he's going to say.
This is the most somber we've seen Sal.
Yeah.
He's very down. He's clearly on the fence, which we haven't seen from him.
Yeah.
He's really sort of pensive. It's a very different Sal than we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And he says he needs to see her at the altar, and he's not going to know until that moment. Do you believe that?
I mean, I think what that really means is he's not going to say yes.
That's what I think, too. And he doesn't, like, want to say that to the camera.
Or maybe he doesn't even know it. You know what I mean? Like, I think maybe in his heart he knows he doesn't want to do it, but I don't know.
Sloan in the chat says, I'm telling you, I seriously do not think Sal is awesome. I have Sal ick. I don't think he's awesome, but it seems like a guy who read a book who's like, so you want to win a woman. Like, this is what you do. You know, number one, grab the nearest ukulele. Number two, cook ethnic foods to different ethnic music. It all seems a little measured.
Yeah.
I do understand that. I'm not putting Sal on any kind of romantic pedestal, but he's trying.
Yeah, I like him. I don't know that anybody's awesome, but he doesn't give me the ick. I just think, yeah, he's a little stiff and a little measured, and I think he's trying.
He's doing the experiment.
Yeah.
And she's not. She never has.
No. Frankly, he's at least outwardly the sweetest man that's on this season, which, I mean, I know the bar is pretty low. Mallory looks gorgeous. She cannot stop crying.
Sal also gives us a little bit of information and says that he got Mallory a gift, and that gift is a mariachi band. Then we see it, and like Sal's singing, is not good.
He tells us that she's gonna love it. He really has his finger on her pulse. Listen, I'm gonna say this.
Yeah.
And we could cut it out. Maybe the chat can tell me if it needs to get cut. But I heard that and I was like, wait a minute. Honestly, I was like, I've heard mariachi bands before and I don't remember going like, stop. Did he go down to Home Depot and pick up some dudes who were hoping to get work as like roofers and just put instruments in their hands and hats on their heads? Like, they're not in the same key. Their instruments are out of tune. They're not in the same tempo.
Nothing is right about it. Number one, at a wedding, I've never heard anyone be like, you know what's missing?
You know?
Hear me out. A mariachi band. Who agrees, right? A mariachi band.
Listen, I will tell you, I did go down a YouTube rabbit hole because I was like, am I wrong? Like, is this what they're supposed to sound like? So I looked it up. It's mostly white people. I mean, especially having the wedding march song.
Right.
Like, usually if you hire a mariachi band, they're playing like traditional Mexican wedding music, not Here Comes the Bride.
I used to love Ballet Folklorico when I was little. I get it. It just doesn't feel matrimonial. You know what she's going to love? A ukulele? No, a mariachi.
An out-of-tune guitar? No, an out-of-tune mariachi band.
It's so incorrect.
Listen, I had a long talk with Barry about it this afternoon. I was like, if I made a lesbians at Home Depot joke, nobody would say anything. If I made a rednecks at Home Depot joke, nobody. And I said, everybody knows that people looking for jobs outside of Home Depot, lesbians and Trumpers, are the three demographics that you will always find at Home Depot.
Definitely.
Even though it's a homophobic company.
Yep. Go to Lowe's.
Go to Lowe's.
Sal is dabbing sweat. You're not like dabbing. He's like. What if he was just like, watch me whip
and watch me night.
No, he's dabbing his sweat. She's crying. She's dabbing her eyes. Her dad's not that. Could anyone have walked this girl down the aisle?
I know.
A brother, a bestie, a grip,
somebody,
a producer,
somebody.
Shane, anyone?
Shane. She's like, this didn't work out for me, but I'll walk you, Mallory.
You know who should have walked her down the aisle?
Don't say Jerry T.T.
Jerry T.T.T.T.
No.
That would have been great. Sal's tux is too tight. He went to Shane's tailor, obviously. Sal's sister, Victoria, is wearing a tux, and she looks hot AF.
Is she your type?
She's not my type, but once she put that tux on, I was like, I would take her into the bathroom and finger blast her for sure at that wedding. Listen, everyone needs a good finger blast at a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Take me in the bathroom. Do it real fast. It's fine.
Listen, Ellen, I am very good at it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What's your special move?
Well, listen, I don't want to give away my secret recipe.
I want to know.
I will
just
tell you.
Oh, the come here?
Yeah. What? You know.
Three fingers.
Sometimes. Depends.
That seems excessive.
And then you want to do a lot of this and then just suck on it.
The nipple or the clit?
The clit.
Oh.
They will be coming for Jesus.
Okay. You didn't do it that well to me that one time, so.
Ellen, I keep telling you, don't tell anybody.
You're like, Daisy, listen, I have not had a lesbian experience. Just do it. Just make me come for Jesus really fast. Just really
fast. I just want to see how you do it.
I just want to see how you do it. I want to see your technique. Someone says coming for Jesus merch.
Anne says, I didn't do it good to you because you don't respond to my texts. And that is right. If you respond to my texts, I'll fuck you real good. That's all it takes. Just respond to my texts and then I'll fuck you. I have no self-respect.
Oh, are you a man? Okay.
Pretty much. They tell each other that they're handsome and beautiful. Mallory's asked to share her truth, which she's literally never done before with herself or anyone else. He feels like home. He makes her feel comfortable and safe. She's grown so much with him and she's been more vulnerable than she... Vulnerable? Yes, Ellen, that's how you do it. That's how you do it. Very good. But you also have to be going like this for some reason. The word vulnerable, reality TV really fucking brought that. What happened?
I thought you just said vulnerable.
Listen, man, I have never felt more vulnerable.
How are you feeling vulnerable?
Vulnerable, man.
So, what are you going to do about it? You going to finger blast me in this Chili's or no?
I've had an awesome blossom and two margaritas.
And how about you look at this blossom?
I'm feeling.
Because it's pretty awesome.
Vulnerable. Merch.
What show are we on?
Blah, blah, blah. She loves all of the things about him. He says he knows he couldn't be standing there with anyone else. His thing is all like weird platitudes, but I guess we're used to that with him. He's getting to know her and being vulnerable with her has made him a better man. He loves and respects, blah, blah, blah. He promises to always be his truest self with her. And I wrote, I hope he means for the next few minutes only.
Because this is not happening.
No. And the officiant asks Sal if he does, and he does not. Yay, Sal!
Yeah, and he says he needs more time, and he's very broken up about it. And whatever you think about Sal, some people don't think he's sincere, whatever, he's crying. Actually, there's a very tender moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mallory says, it's okay, and she goes, and she takes his face, and she very intimately, you know, she like wipes his tears. She puts her hand on her face. It was the most tender I've ever seen her.
Absolutely.
And then this bitch picks up her dress and goes, bye.
Yeah. Walks herself back down the aisle.
The whiplash.
I know.
I was like, oh, that's so tech. Oh, bye. Like, no fucking lube. There was no spit. She was just like, see?
Bye.
Yeah.
And then we get a truly awful fucking song with some mushmouth singer who's like, let it hurt. Let it bleed. I'll be so happy when that trend ends.
Sal takes a moment to address everyone.
Guys, I don't even really know what to say. I feel like I just need to talk to Mallory's loved ones and family. Like, I feel like I haven't had the time to meet a lot of you, and I just want to say, I know this was hard for all of you too. I could only give her my truest self and my most honest choice. That's why I said no today. And I just thank you for being here for us today.
First of all, Sister Tiffany looks like she ate a fucking batch of sour grapes. Fix your face, yep. Sister Tiffany.
Yes, she is
Fix
not here
your
for
your fucking face. And say what you will about Sal, the way he talks and he speaks to Mallory's family, that was very classy, was very respectable, especially in contrast to fucking Shake.
Yeah.
Who was like, strike the music, I'm going to Nobu. Like, it was lovely, didn't you think?
It was. I think he threw a little shade when he was like, I haven't met most of you. Because, like, the family wasn't fucking there.
Did you think that was intentional shade? I wasn't sure.
I don't know. We find out later that he's, like, pissed off that, you know, the family wasn't supportive. So I think he was kind of like, you fucking people. So now the seats are all empty except for Sal, and Mallory joins him. And again, she is talking like nothing happened. She did this when they had their fight. She's like, hey, you. What's up? Yeah. What's up, you? What do you mean, what's up, you? We just broke up in front of 100 people.
Yeah.
So they check in on each other. He tells her he didn't want to make the final decision until he was up there, but he feels like he got everything off his chest. And she's like, yeah, I knew you were in 100%. She says that she doesn't know what she would have said if she went first. And he asked, if I said yes, would you have said yes? And she said, I might have. And he says, I hope we can remain in each other's lives. And she's like, that's what you want? And he's like, yeah. I mean, I think he just wants to like see her without cameras around, which I think is perfectly reasonable. Mallory tells us that she loves Sal and she's given 100% of herself. Okay.
They both seem at peace.
Yeah.
They kind of both seem relieved, honestly. Mallory did not want to marry Sal.
No.
And Sal finally accepted it.
Yes. I think that's right. So we're 1 for 5 at this point. And now we're with Ayana and Jerry. Ayana tells us that falling in love with someone's soul is a real thing. She has white bridal Nikes. Whatever.
She says he's empathetic. Is he?
Thank you.
When is he empathetic?
Where was that scene? Because we never saw anything other than self-interest from Jerry.
Holy smokes. Yeah, Sloane says he's empathetic to himself. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So we get a montage of their love story. Jerry TTTT tells us he loves Ayana to the moon and back.
To infinity. And beyond.
So he's literally quoting children's stories.
Yeah, he's Buzz Lightyear.
He tells his friends that he can see them together for the rest of their lives. This is the right decision for him, and he's never been more sure of anything. And his friends are basically like, okay, you ready to not be a fuckboy anymore?
His friends are selling him out.
Yeah.
They fucking bought it and they resold him on Poshmark. They were like, we thought you were going to be the 40-year-old bachelor. You were going to be like Uncle Jared at the barbecue carrying all the kids then going to get wasted and like fucking girls. Bros, time and place. His wedding day, they are fucking reading him for filth. Yeah. I'm here for it.
So here for it. He says he knows he has to make sacrifices and he can't do the things he was doing as a single man. Bro, you have to stop doing the things you were doing last week as a fiance.
Lots of things have to change.
Lots of things. Ayana looks gorgeous.
Yeah, she really does.
And she's crying and someone tells her not to cry and Ayana's like, thugs don't cry. And then she's like, no, I'm a thug who cries. And then Deja shows up and finally Jerry TTTT has any emotion other than party up, bro. Party up, bro. She's like, it's okay. You can let it out. You can cry. And he says, I'm a thug. Thugs don't cry. So Deja clearly wants to make sure that Jerry TTTT understands what he's getting into. He's like, it's a lifelong commitment. I'm hanging up my jersey. And she's like, okay, that includes partying and going to the clubs.
Even his sister's like, meh.
And Jerry TT just stares at her like, huh? I don't know if that was an editing thing or what. Ayana's parents show up, and I put them in quotes because she was a full adult when they adopted her.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer's crying. Michael says, parents say this all the time. You grow up so quickly, but time really does pass quickly from a child to being a woman. You guys adopted her like 10 years ago when she was an adult.
She was 18 or 19.
Or like 22, I think.
I think they like took her in when she was 18 or 19 and made the adoption official when she was 22.
I feel like Michael just wants to be a dad. And like just has leaned so far into this weird thing. It's very strange.
Ashley just said, I want you to know I started watching this recording in Tennessee and I'm in Oklahoma now.
Yeah.
It's the wedding episode. It's longer.
And also we had a pre-roll of 20 minutes before we even hit record. Okay. They pray together. Jennifer tells us she's nervous. She doesn't want Ayana to get hurt. She's not sure that this is the guy who will be there for her when she needs it. Correct.
Mama Jennifer, she is skeptical. Yeah. She's like, I don't know. I do not know about this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm on board. I don't know what's happening. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know.
We see a flashback of Ayana saying that she hasn't seen Jerry TT making any adjustments to show that he's ready. And then we cut to Jerry TT getting ready, telling his buddies that Ayana warned him not to come to the wedding drunk. And that's as they all cheers. And one of his friends says, ha, 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 you don't know my friends. And Jerry TT says,
hey, let's do it, man.
Shit.
And they all take shots. So he's already broken his word before they've even gotten to the altar.
Blah, blah, blah. Marriage, marriage, marriage. Ayana walks down the aisle.
She looks like a bride from a Shakespeare play.
Yes.
She's so gorgeous.
Or like a Jane Austen movie or something.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jerry TT is so teary-eyed. Yep. Papa Michael holds her hand and hands her hand to Jared and said, I need you to be the best man you can be. And I wanted Jared to be like, and for that reason, I'm out.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
That's going to be a no from me, dog. Yeah. So Jerry TT's dad is officiating. And he says the thing about, like, what made you want to get married sight unseen. Ayana says she feels understood and loved by him, and that's never happened. She's got her bar is in hell. She says she feels like they're supposed to be together, and he was made for her, and she was made for him.
Didn't Jewel write a song about that?
And I was made for you. Yeah, you were made for me.
Did you ever see when Jessica Simpson sang?
Who will save your soul?
But she was like doing a Jewel impression.
No.
Oh, it's so uncomfortable.
And who will save your soul if you won't save?
Yucky. Jewel is one of those 90s singer-songwriters who, like, some PR company or something, record label, got to her and they were like, it's okay, but can you be slutty? And she just, like, suddenly came out and was like, no, I'm a slut! It's like, what happened? Jerry TT says she showed him he's able to be loved the way he wants to be loved. She accepts him for who he is. She cares, blah, 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 blah.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Whatever. They do. I met my wife through a wall. Okay.
They dance a little. They jump over the broom. Michael has not smiled the entire fucking day. Then the two of them go off and have a champagne toast. Jerry TTTT tells us he's on fucking cloud nine because he married the woman of his dreams. And he's going to wear that ring with pride. We'll see.
Okay.
She asks him if he's got her back. And he says, like, a thong and a crack.
Honestly, again, Shakespeare. It really comes full circle.
But she corrects him. She's like, no, it's a thong and a butt crack.
Yeah, it's romantic. We have all the closing feelings from everyone. People are mad. People are sad.
But the experiment worked. Don't forget. Everyone is like, the experiment worked.
The experiment worked. It worked. In their contract.
They get $10,000 each time they say it.
And Shake was like, this is the only time I've been broken up with where it's okay. Shut up. Shut the fuck up! And whatever. We see the parties. Danielle says, love is blind. No, you need therapy and you're on a TV show. That's what it is. Y'all, this episode is fucking longer than my marriage.
I don't think I ever watched the reunion, so I am very excited for this.
How many do we have? Is it just one? Is it the reunion? Is there an after the altar?
I don't know.
How many do we have? I don't know. But I'm here for it. What have we learned? A lot of these women are great. This show is terrific. There is no better TV show.
No.
You are a cocaine expert. Yeah. Shake, how was his Nobu?
You know, we should find out. Hopefully he'll tell us at the reunion because that's the important stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it says one reunion and three after the altar. Three? Fantastic.
Two wasn't enough?
Bring it. Bring it. All right, Daisy, one more thing. I just need you to shut the fuck up.
Oh, man.
I said it. I said it in the clear all by myself. Shut the fuck up. I said it twice.
I thought you were going to say that you loved me.
No, I'm holding out for the
finger blasting.
Finger blasting. I love you so
much. I'm holding out for the finger blasting. I love you. Shut the fuck up.
We'll see you at the reunion, everyone. Shut the fuck up.
Bye.
Thank you, Jeff.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.